I'm Dr. Erin Mond with the National Association of School Nurses, and I am here representing actually quite a large group, even larger than the ones listed here. But I want to talk to you about a data set and a uniform data set for all school nurses to collect, to use the same way that we see as important, not just for school nursing, but for the larger realm of public health nursing, since to us school nursing is a subspecialty. I have nothing to disclose, and I kind of mentioned the purpose. In our audience today actually are two members of the joint work group. This is the larger group that we're all working on this. This is just something we've started in the past year. We submitted the abstract with the smaller group before we had the large work group going. But Martha Bergen and Jessica Gertis, they are both members of this joint work group that I'm going to be discussing. But with 15 minutes, I'm the one presenting. And I have to just, I don't have anything to disclose, as I said, but they scheduled me to moderate a session right after this in the Hilton. So I'm going to leave at the very end of the session just a few minutes early, like 5 minutes. But questions can certainly go to them because they know it just as well as I do. So all your questions will be answered, hopefully. So the Institute of Medicine in the report, they talked about how the United States lacks a coherent template for population health information. And so for us to really understand the health status of Americans and to assess how well the nation's efforts and investments result in improved population health, we need something there. This and the premise of the increased talking about the importance of a more community-focused of healthcare system, and the Affordable Care Act, and just data and accountability are all premises of why this has been in discussion for many, many years in school nursing. Because right now, currently, school nurses across the nation, many of them collect data, but they all collect it their own way, basically. Some states have regulations. I know we have Minister for Massachusetts, and they collect excellent data, and it's very set. And other states do it as well, but then there's many states that weren't collecting any data at all. And the issue was, is it's great they're collecting information and hopefully using it locally, but the power of being able to have it all put together into a big data is incredible. And that was our goal. And as well as we had gotten a lot of questions from people asking, well, what should I collect? And we thought, well, since they're asking anyways, let's really put this into a thoughtful process. As this fits in for school nursing, as we see kind of, this is a laser, right? Cool, I'm going to use it. So we see skilled nursing as kind of the umbrella in many ways, is because we have the connection with the acute healthcare system, because we work with the children that have chronic conditions that oftentimes need management while they're in the schools. But we work with the children in the schools as well as their families and the communities in public health. So seeing all of them, it gives school nurses a great opportunity every day to be the eyes and ears of public health. They see not only children that have chronic conditions, but the acute care outbreaks that go on, as well as definitely the influence of the social determinants of health, and they practice all levels of prevention. So, again, we see school nursing as a subspecialty of public health to begin with, but also as eyes and ears, the data that they collect or could potentially collect or have access to is actually pretty amazing. And our premise is not for them to collect it for us in school nursing, but using this as an opportunity to really coordinate and partner with the local health departments as well. And here's a few reasons why. Oftentimes a lot of the rates and conditions regarding the surveillance of childhood conditions are estimates, and you'll see they'll vary tremendously. I was even looking at the chronic conditions, and I've seen rates everywhere from 8% to 19%. And it's because they're all based on small samples that they make generalizations for. It's all done great, and it's what we have. But with this is an opportunity that we'd actually have a pretty good actual account. We estimate about 98% of school children are in school, which means they have access, hopefully, to a school nurse. We would have really much stronger evidence of surveillance, being able to really see what the conditions that are out there, as well as because we'd have the stronger data and the bigger numbers right at the school or zip code level, when interventions were being done by public health and by others, we'd really be able to see where the interventions were making the biggest difference because we'd be tracking it at that level. It also, of course, I'm the researcher, so the research that could be done with this kind of data is just tremendous with these samples. I think one of the biggest challenges we have in public health and school nursing research is there's great programs going on out there, but they're often smaller for lots of reasons. But again, to have a database that's a national representation that has this big end data, it's just tremendous what we can learn about best models of practice, what are the best interventions. And the data we collect are from all, it's not just going to be outcome data. It's looking at the whole spectrum of structure, process, and outcomes. So a lot can be done, which will then just help us influence policy to make sure that our nation really is the healthiest that it can be. So that's kind of the premise of what why we really thought this was important, and it's been talked about for a long time. It was just time to kind of get a group together and start working on it, and I've kind of mentioned those already. Whoops. It doesn't like that slide. I'll try it again. Okay, so this is a joint project. Like I say, I'm from the National Association of School Nurses, but we also have NASNIC, which is the National Association of State School Nurse Consultants, and that is Jessica is a member of that group as the state consultant in Illinois. So, and of course, as the state consultants in the states, that's important for them as well, and they're the ones that oftentimes lead the collection of the data that is being collected. Since it was important to both of us, we have a joint group where we actually developed a joint resolution to make sure that we were on the same path of what we thought was important and a memorandum of agreement of what both sides were going to do. And the first thing we did was do an environmental scan where we reviewed the literature and looked at what was currently being done. And then as we've moved along, we do a lot of our calls on to telephone, but we did get some funding actually from some vendors, school health vendors, so that we were able to have a face-to-face meeting to really move this forward. And this is in the beginning points. They're collecting data this first year, so I don't have actual data to show you, but I can show you what we're doing and the process. And I think I did that again. Okay, so the environmental scan, this was interesting to us, too. The consultants looked at the states that were collecting data, and there was 29 states collecting some data by school nurses. But there was very, very little overlap, which was honestly shocking to all of us because kids' conditions are student conditions across the state, but they collected them or maybe they asked the question in a different way, which was our challenge of why we could never put the data together. In addition, while they were doing that as the National Association of School Nurses, we looked at what federal and national organizations were collecting regarding children's health. We looked at anything from the Annie Casey Foundation to the CDC and anything that we could find, lots of surveys out there regarding children. And a lot of them focused on policies more so than actual counts. A few did do some counts, but again, it was mostly policies, and again, there was very little overlap. So we didn't want to reinvent the wheel by any circumstances, and we are still taking that into account. And when we talked to CDC and many of the national organizations, we did ask them, like, what kind of information would they really ideally like but have never collected, just to kind of get a feel of what was out there. And the questions were the same ones we had, so that was a good thing. So this is kind of, I'm going to tell you what the process is, and then I'm going to tell you what the data points are that we have identified, and it's in the works, but where we kind of are. So the idea is for the local school nurses to collect the data themselves at the local level, and then to aggregate it together at their district level. And this is not just for members of the NASN Association. We want all school nurses, members or not, as well as if they're in public schools, private schools, charter schools, any of those, because we're trying to get a real look at the school-aged children. So this has been one of the biggest challenges this year is this process, because we don't actually know where all the school nurses are across the nation. And so that's been kind of part of what we've been working on. So at the local level, they aggregate it to the district level, and the district then submits it to the state. In states where there is a school nurse consultant, that is who they're giving the information, the data to, but not all states have a consultant. And so we actually have volunteered, there's school nurse leaders in the states who step forth and have volunteered to be the contact person in that state, to be the point person for collecting the data. We call them the designated school state data champion. But then a lot of other school nurses are also helping because it's also getting the word out as much and fast as we possibly can. So then once they have the data at the state level, they're doing kind of a first round look at the data to make sure nothing looks really out of the ordinary because they're more likely to pick it up than we are at the national level. And then they'll give it to us in a national database where we'll aggregate it together. This year we're working, again, more on process than what the actual numbers are, but because we had such buy-in from so many school nurses asking about this, we actually, our conference is in the summer in June in 2015, and so we are going to report out what we've seen just so that they know what we're doing and they know we're a part of it. We've done webinars to explain this, but the biggest thing is we're not doing this, even though I've talked about it, like it is important at the national level, and we do want it at the national level, but most importantly, we're trying to get the word out that school nurses want this for their own level, at their own local level. Those not collecting, it's a great opportunity for them to begin collecting, and for those that are, well, to continue. And because the most important thing is for that quality improvement and how they can look at their practice and see areas, maybe trends they hadn't noticed that they can really address population health. And this was where it comes back into local health departments as well, as an opportunity of if this data being collected, it's aggregate data, but local health departments being able to use it, as well as state, as well, but as a source of incredible data on our students, from social determinants to health conditions to lots of information. So that's kind of the process we're going to see. So we've identified 15 data points that we are collecting this year. And we're doing it in two parts. We thought about doing it as kind of a pilot first, just in a few areas where they were collecting data really well. But again, we actually had so many school nurses asking, what should I collect, what should I collect? We decided, you know, we're looking at the process anyways. Let's just get the word out, and we're focusing on process. Let school nurses collect the data, and let's empower them to use that data. So that's what we're doing. And so, but we want, because we want to see how this process works. So in December, they are going to be, many of the states, we have some flexibility there, are going, so school staffing, because it's, even though there can be turnover, usually you have about the same numbers throughout the year. So this is, and this is actually reported at the district level, because school nurses sometimes work in more than one school. And so it was hard to sometimes, we didn't want double dipping on counting. We were trying to get as accurate data as we wanted. Each of these data points have a definition to which they are to follow. And that's been probably one of our largest messages, is how important to follow the definition we've indicated, not maybe what they would like it to be. Because we need to all be collecting it the same way. So they're going to collect this information, and then we just identified the most common four chronic conditions that are seen in schools. We realize there are many, many more, and we had a great debate of if mental health should be included the first year. We acknowledge that it's a huge and very common condition that's growing, but again, it was with the definition and identifying a definition that we could all start off with. And do we include, like, ADHD, or autism, or things that sometimes they're grouped together and sometimes they're not. This is a beginning point. We're going to be adding additional data points as we go, so we just started. And it has to be diagnosed from the health provider, which has actually been something that's been really interesting to us. We've learned a lot about how different standards of practice across the nation, so that's a kind of an added bonus of where we can do some education on the importance of working with providers. So this information here will be collected in, like I say, December. And so we'll be able to get the first look at see how well the process is going, as well as how many people are participating. Then throughout the entire school year, so they'll collect this data and submit it in June at the end of their school year, our health office dispositions, we call it, or visits, we're only collecting it from the RN, the registered nurses. We realize there are aides, LPNs, secretaries, and others that oftentimes see children in schools, and we value what they do, but we had to start somewhere, and so we're starting with the RNs. Of collecting what happens when a child comes to their office. Do they send them home? Do they have to call 911? Or can they send them back to class? Those are the breakdowns, realizing there's others too. So those are the data points that we're collecting. This is the website that we've created that has all the information. It has the definitions. I just went over them briefly. For those that are collecting on paper, one of the states had already developed an Excel sheet, so it's something that can be used. We had a lot of frequently asked questions. Jessica helps oversee those. And so every time we get them, we add them to the document, which is quite long now. But it's good. It's been a good opportunity to get the dialogue going to make sure we're all on the same page. And then we've done several webinars. Like I say, not only just about what this process is about, we call it Step Up and Be Counted, but we're little by little, we're doing more and more webinars. The next few that we're thinking about doing are how they can use the data locally. We started with just what this process is because we had to get the word out, but we want to really empower school nurses to use this data. There'll be another one on examples of how it's used, how you can work more and more with public health departments, and things like that. So in conclusion, like I say, states are collecting the data as we speak. We have nearly all the states we know of, at least a few that we hear about. So we figure since we didn't collect any last year, it's going to be a step up. We'll see where the barriers and challenges are that we can address. Whoops. We're doing things to outreach more with health departments and, of course, offices of education as well. We're doing the training, but we see that this is an opportunity as we move along right from the start to collaborate and work to get with other public health nurses as well. And as we always sometimes like to say, so if you're not part of the database, you don't exist. And we always talk about how invisible public health nurses are and school nurses are. And this is one way that we can help be able to articulate what we do and the great impact that we have. So this is our logo, and we look forward to questions at the end. Thank you.